have none.
Nothing? All right, approval of the agenda? Any changes at all? Do you have any comments?
Yeah, wasn't there one of the managers for the post office?
President Lucas, manager Marchand would like to talk about the PO box, and I suggested that he do that under 6A.
6A, okay. PO box. All right, anything else? All right, public forum. Anybody in the public that's not already on the agenda? All right, we'll move to the consent calendar. Any comments about the consent calendar?
I would like to pull an item from the consent calendar.
Okay, which item?
That would be the Halcyon Cemetery at Lake Elm.
All right, so we'll pull the Halcyon Cemetery from the consent calendar. So do I have a motion to approve of all the other items on the consent calendar?
Motion to approve, second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, it's been approved. Okay, we'll jump right to that one. Let me find it in my packet here. John, you want to talk to us about this, please?
Sure. Manager's talked about this and issued a permit, I believe it was in 2015. Project was on hold due to some issues with the city of Lake Elmo. It's now been resubmitted. It's basically the same as the project in 2015, with some details regarding the outlet structures and some specifications regarding doing soil corrections in order to allow the infiltration basin to work better. The suggested site-specific conditions are fairly standard. The first one is to have the modeling that they submitted match the plans. They submitted some information to me 5:30 yesterday afternoon, and I reviewed it today, and there's still a few minor inconsistencies that they need to do. Number two talks about the phasing plan. The original plans had it wasn't clear in phasing one and two, and now they've decided to do the whole project at one time. Number three is related to the materials and anything placed below the 100-year flood elevation. If you look at the 11 by 17 figure included in the memo, it's a little bit hard to see, but most of the eastern third of the site is below the 100-year flood elevation. There's some notes that say proposed floodplain 932. And so that includes the ponding areas as well as part of the proposed cemetery. Number four is a standard condition that the maintenance agreement be submitted prior to construction, as well as number five being standard that a surety be submitted prior to construction.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
So when we tend to approve these based on site-specific condition requirements, what follow-up is there to make sure that they're complied with? And if they're not, what do we have? What can we do?
President Lucas, managers, prior to construction, the city of Lake Elmo requires a pre-construction meeting. And at that time, I work with Inspector Brower to review the conditions of the permit and make sure that they've all been addressed, or if they haven't, that he points out to the contractor that they still need to be addressed before Valley Branch would allow construction to start. Some of the conditions aren't necessarily a requirement prior to construction, but a lot of them are.
So that's the final check and balance in the deal, right? And it's a good question. There are times when we're there's questions on different permits that come up that John's gotten information on in between the packet being sent out and the meeting. And then it's not a small significant or insignificant amount of time we'll ask John's opinion on whether he feels like that communication has been good in between the construction firm or the contractor or whoever it is, and has a good feeling about the follow-up and that they understand what needs to be submitted. So there's been some give and take in that communication process previously. All right. Any other questions?
So nobody's going to be underwater in the afterworld?
President Lucas, managers, like I said, there are several of the cemetery plots that would be below the 100-foot elevation. And that I did a little bit of research on that, contacting the Minnesota Department of Health to find out if they have any rules or standards regarding that, and they do not. Talking with the DNR, they have some requirements in their model floodplain ordinance, and those are included in suggested site-specific condition number 3.
Yep.
Have something to say. Okay. All right. Anybody have any other questions on this?
I have none.
All right. Do you want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve Halion Cemetery, Cemetery permit 2018-16.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. It's been approved. Kido?
If you had any questions for me, the property owner, I'd be happy to answer.
All right. Looks like we cruise right along without any questions.
I think I need to say something.
Would you like to say something?
No, I'm excited to get started, and this is going to be one of the first steps to the finality of getting started. I appreciate that. I mean, somebody has to say yes first, and not that you guys are doing that, but as you go through the process of getting all these permits, it's nice to get some of these things clicked off of your list so that you don't have to keep going back to them. So,
I can't remember. John's
been very helpful and very fair and given us the information, and so I appreciate that.
What was the delay with Lake Elmo? Can you do a quick synopsis and refresh our memory, one of you guys? Just for
we were denied after they delayed making a decision for 120 days, and then I took them to district court and lost.
Oh.
And then we went to the appellate court and won, and then they decided to ask the Supreme Court for a review, and they denied reviewing it. So the appellate court ruling held, and then it goes backwards to the district court to tell the council to approve it. So, and
wow.
We always felt from the beginning that it was in the ordinances, and mm-hmm. we tried to comply with the ordinances. So mm-hmm. it was a battle and expensive, but mm-hmm. anything we're doing is worth making a battle out of it if you have to, you know. So I've been attached to the property since 1985 when my parents built their house there. Mm-hmm. And so it's emotional for me too. So we're going to build just a Jim Dandy little cemetery, and people I think are going to flock to it. We've got some great ideas, and hopefully they flock to it and visit, not necessarily come to stay right away. But I think we have some really forward-thinking ideas, and I think people are going to appreciate it. So, but it's a little bit macabre, I think, to think about cemeteries. But at my age, you start thinking about them a lot more. So anyways, we are excited.
All right, great. Thanks for the background.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Appreciate that. Take it easy, Lee.
Thank you.
See you, Tony.
Yep.
Let's see. Number B, updates and requests from partners, volunteers, CAC. John, have any?
President Lucas, managers, I emailed and distributed tonight to Chuck Taylor's report.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, I saw that. All right.
Should we get him, do you have a problem with his cane?
He reported that in his report, but I don't know the. Mm-hmm.
He's had an issue, I think, on maybe the hill getting down there. Mm-hmm. The cages there.
Okay. I think we're up to Ms. Auditor.
Okay. I'm Peggy Moeller. I'm from Redpath & Company. I'm a partner on your audit. If you have a handout, you can follow along if way with green. I'll start on page 2 of the handout. The 2017 audit is completed and the reports were issued on June four reports that are issued by the auditor, and they're listed on page 2 of the handout. They are the opinion on the fair presentation of financial statements, the internal control report, the legal compliance report, and the communication of charges governance. And I will be going through each of these briefly as we go through the handout. We'll start on page 3 with the opinion on the financial statements. Here it's important to remember that the financial statements are the responsibility of management. Our role as auditors is to give an opinion on the fair presentation of those financial statements. We do follow GAAP, our generally accepted auditing standards, in performing the audit. And our goal is to plan and perform the audit to obtain reasonable assurance that your financial statements are materially correct. Results of the audit is that you have received another unmodified or clean opinion of the financial statements. Next report is on page 4, internal control report. It's important to remember that we do not audit your internal control, but we do consider internal control as we plan and perform the audit. Some of the procedures we do in this area is, well, first we gain an understanding of your controls over your major classes of transactions and account balances. Then we you did receive 2 internal control findings. When we talk about findings, there are 2 different types of findings. There are material weaknesses. That is the more serious finding. That is a finding where we believe the deficiency could result in a material misstatement of your financial statements. A less severe finding is a significant deficiency. That's where we believe the deficiency would not cause a material weakness, but it's still important enough that we want to bring it to your attention. So the first finding you received with audit adjustments in year and closing, that is a material weakness because the audit adjustments were material in amount. The first journal entry had to do with accounts payable. A payable for the third quarter invoice for the Washington Conservation District had not been booked in the amount of $4,625. We made that entry. The second correction was to contracts payable. Payment number 3 to Penn Contracting, the amount of $13,960, was initially recorded as a 2018 expenditure, but since the work was done in 2017, it had to be journalized to make it a contract payable and a 2017 expenditure. The other finding is lack of segregation of duties. This is a significant deficiency, so a less serious finding, and I believe you've received this finding every year. It's very common for small entities, you just don't have enough people to segregate all your duties. So it's not an unusual finding for small entities.
So is there a standard? That's just an opinion.
I would say almost all small entities get it. Almost all auditors give that finding if you don't have multiple people that you can segregate all your functions. The next report is on page 5, the legal compliance report. This report summarizes the results of our testing of compliance with Minnesota state statutes. Our tests are based on a checklist that's provided by the Office of State Auditor. There are 5 categories of testing that apply to your entity, and they're listed on page 5. There are deposits and investments, conflicts of interest, contracting and bid laws, claims and disbursements, and then miscellaneous provisions. We did perform tests in each of these areas, and the results of our testing is received 1 LEO compliance finding having to do with unclaimed property. There is a statute that states that if you have outstanding checks that are over 3 years old, you have to report them to the Commissioner of the Commerce as an unclaimed property. And you had 1 check in the amount of $267.50 that was over 3 years old. So.
Someone's dog ate it?
I don't know. Sometimes you have to follow up with who you sent it to, and you might have to void it and issue a check.
Yes. The last I heard, we were on it, right? I missed that one completely.
That was the other one. Thinking of a 2008.
Yes, ma'am.
That's a larger amount.
Okay.
So this is something else. But
I had no idea.
I can get you the details. I'll send you the details tomorrow.
That would be very nice.
Yeah, who was the check from? I'm curious.
Yeah. It would be on your bank statement.
As
a reconciling item.
Okay.
That's how we find it.
Okay.
But I can now remember to send you the
Okay.
tomorrow. And then finally on page it has some topics such as whether you had any changes in accounting policy or did not, whether we encountered any difficulties in performing the audit or any disagreements with management, again, we did not. I will note, though, that CASB, or the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, is issuing new standards all the time. There's a number of them that need to be implemented. The only one I think that could have an effect on your entity is CASB 87 on leases. They are changing how we account for leases, both when you're a lessor and when you're a lessee, and it's fairly complicated. It does not need to be implemented until January 1st of 2020, which sounds like a long way away, but we're going to start talking to our clients this fall and gathering the information that's necessary to implement so that when 2020 comes around, we can implement it fairly quickly.
What do we lease? I don't think we have anything that we lease, do we?
It may not apply to it.
No. At this time, we have no equipment that we own. We don't lease equipment.
We don't process anything.
No.
I'm kidding.
I don't think that that's going to apply to us at this time. But thank you.
So that's a big one. Other than that, I don't think any of the changes out there currently are going to affect us. And with that, I'd like to thank everyone who helped us during the audit. And I'd be happy to ask any other questions you may have.
Just out of curiosity, what's the materiality limit for our entity?
So I would have to look. It's a calculation. Or you have several materiality limits, ones on government-wide statements, and one on your major fund. You might have five different numbers. I don't recall what they each are.
Any other questions for
governmental
anybody?
Governmental accounting.
No?
No, ma'am. You.
All right. Thank you.
No,
appreciate
it. You need to accept the audit.
Ah. Okay. Well, you guys want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept the 2017 audit review that we received today, July 12th, 2018.
A second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. It's been approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Peggy. Are you, do you have something to cover yourself with? Good. Excellent. Hey, just asking. Thank you.
All right, next up is Inspector Jeff.
Yes. President Lucas, Board of Managers, do you have any questions from the inspection report that was?
It was lengthy.
Yeah.
There you go. A
couple items.
Go ahead.
Ask. Okay. Mm-hmm. Page one. Halfway down, retention ponds graded and stabilized, 625-18, Rock Point Church, some erosion.
Yeah, in fact, I just had a conversation today with Gary Zappa,
Zappa?
Zappa.
Okay.
From Wisconsin. He specializes in working on churches. And we talked about, because there's continuing issues, even though they fixed them once, the outlets from the parking lot, there's erosion coming from the rock down. It's going around the controls they put in place, so it's eroding around everything except what they put down.
Okay.
And then the infiltration basin, in fact, I was going to mention that in my follow-up report, doesn't appear to be functioning in the 48-hour, 1-inch rainfall. So when it dries up, they're going to have to go in there and maybe scarify it or do something to try to break the surface on it. It was working late last year. And the vegetation's coming along, but they have some cleanup to do. I know they're on us about the surety return because they issued a cash check for their surety. So they're anxious to get it back. I don't know if they have to do their recordings, and that hasn't been done, but we do have a couple outstanding issues that have to be fixed. So
we have to fix them before they get their shit back.
So just so you know, that's, we're chasing that a little bit, and they're pushing on one end and saying, well, it's not working yet. So, and he's aware of it.
Okay. May I ask another one?
Sure.
Towards the bottom of the page, 627-18, Afton Village, Upper 33rd, rain garden needs a blanket and seed.
Yeah, that's one that they keep on the punch list that they
keep forgetting.
They keep forgetting. There's a dead end there. There's a hill down. The hill has a sanitary sewer connection underneath it. There's an old existing kind of what they called a flue or a drain swale, a rain swale that they put in on the hill illegally somewhere along the line. It comes down to the hill and there's a bowl that's a rain garden. And then it has the overflow goes to the storm sewer. And they never blanketed, the sides are steep, like picture like this. And so it keeps eroding away in there. And so they didn't properly put blanket or anything down to hold it in place. So it's just going to keep kind of filling up with sediment and a continuing problem. It's on the list. I've been on their case about it with the WSB engineer. He knows about it. What is difficult when you get to the end of some of these projects is getting these contractors back out for these little things. That's probably not any news to anybody, but it's difficult to get them back out to finish some of this stuff.
Do you feel like you need some help with that? Do you feel like someone else needs to ask the question? And...
It's on the list. They're well aware of it. I've also talked to them too. I wanted the engineer to confirm that Central Restoration put down the correct seed last fall, the MnDOT seed. They claim that they did, but on the levee, and this probably is because of the working soil aren't brought in, the topsoil probably had a heavy weed seed bed in it, the dormant seeds. And so the levee is full of weeds. If I do see some natives coming up in one area, but not so much in the other. And of course, Ken Johnson, the maintenance guy, is concerned about, well, it's supposed to be no mow, what should I be doing? I'm probably going to recommend that he work with Bellwin, since they do this basically for a living, to maybe coach him through some of those items. But so that was a question I had. I went out to the site where they have the treatment plant. They put a different type of seed out there. Pollinator friendly site. So they did a really nice job in that. It's like night and day. So that's one of those,
Who did the septic site? Do you know?
I don't know who they used. I know that the company they brought in December wasn't the one that was originally scheduled. I think it was Advanced and they never came out. Mm-hmm. So they used Central. So when they put that seed down, there's a lot of cover crop in there. There's oats or winter mm-hmm. wheat, and a lot, that stuff all came up, but then it dies out, and then, mm-hmm. As the year goes on, stuff's supposed to be coming up. So I'll just kind of walk through just as an Afton resident. It's more for me. It's not, more of my own thing that's bugging me. So I've been kind of on their case about it. Just because they wanted this nice looking levee with a natural landscape that was.
About the Islamic, they haven't done anything, stabilization, weeds, seeding done yet?
No, they came back in and they did some grading in there, and then there was no follow-up from the restoration companies to seed everything. It's all full of weeds, even on the turn lane. So that's going to be a follow-up call for me. Well, the same at Arbor Glen. They come in and they clean up the site and get it prepped for the seed and blanket and whatever. But then someone doesn't show up for a month. Well, in a month, in this time of year, everything changes. So
yeah,
I know with the late spring, there were a lot of issues with those contractors being backed up. So that's one that I'll be following up on.
Very good.
I got another question. Do you know why there's some kind of a plate protection and all the cones that are still up on St. Croix Trail just going out of Afton, right in the middle of the road?
On the coulee?
Yeah. Yep, what is all that there for? It's been there for 2 weeks and there's no activity, no work, nothing going on.
It's a separate issue from our permit. They had a erosion for some type of a control structure. The county had a problem with something and they have to replace it. I don't know if there's a control structure under the Cooley Road, but there was something in the road that they had to fix.
Because I can see a big steel plate on the southbound lane going south.
Yeah.
And, but then no one's done anything for it.
Yeah.
It's been sitting like that for like 2-3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something the county needs to fix.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions at all?
I've got a few more follow-ups from this week. That was from last week. Do you want me to take the time to go through some things?
Sure, go ahead.
Burr Oaks in West Lakeland, final grade and stabilization's complete. So it's all set. There's no homes being built, but it's all kind of set to go. I was going by the Lake Elmo Eagle Point Lake, our outlet infrastructure the other day, and you know they've been doing utility work along there. I've stopped a couple of times, and they were backfilling an excavation. They replaced a control box in there for fiber or something, and so I stopped to talk to them. It was right over the outlets, you know, up the hill, probably 15 feet. So I had a conversation with them about the importance of protecting that site to make sure none of the soil goes down the hill. They did have biologs staked underneath what they were working on, and they were pulling it back and filling it. So they were not pushing things, they were pulling things back. But I caught it, and I thought I'd better stop and see what's going on here. So I know we're pretty sensitive about our infrastructure stuff. So, of course, we never received a call that they were working there, John. So
they're not in their locate services
yet. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that goes right back to that whole thing. Eastview was that site in Woodbury where we had some issues on the backside of the Legends of Woodbury Senior Home. Everything's stabilized. There's no further issues there. That was the one where they had the trenching, leaking all the sediment into the infiltration basin. So that's still a mess, but they're not doing any further damage at this point. Royal Oak, I've had a couple conversations with Jim Felton about stabilizing the entrances off 20th Street. They finished the ditch and they've got that all blanketed along there and the extensions that they've done. But inside the entrance, they're having washout problems. And they're going to sod that. So I told him if he had to wait till for the sod people, he had to put logs or silt fence back down in that area because it was washing out right in the entrance. I said, it's bad marketing. You know, people come in there. And the same over on the Manning Trail entrance, they've got to sod that. And then also on the 10th Street exit entrance, even though there's no activity over there, there's some erosion by the culvert below their lift station that needed to be addressed. So I talked to him about that today. I've already talked to you about Rock Point, what's going on there. I did a house count at Cedar Bluff. For Susanna, just to stay on top of it, there's 23 homes built. I believe there's only one more lot. I don't have the file on that one because that one goes back to like 2010 or something. But the site looks great as far as vegetation and everything. It's really quite the model of a cluster development with open space set aside that's well vegetated. It's really, I think. Looks
Where
really
is that
nice.
Again?
Off of 22nd. In Manning,
okay,
you know, in back of the cemetery there, mm-hmm. up on the bluff,
mm-hmm.
there's
mm-hmm.
a cluster development that AFTA did in there. So, 23 homes kind of clustered together. Lake Elmo has done a lot of that, and then the rest was set aside for the land trust and then put into a prairie, and it looks really good. Legacy at North Star, everything's really self-contained there. There's no issues off-site at this point. Jarvis Wee House. I know we have some fans in the audience for that. concrete work is complete, I noticed the other day. And then the follow-up with the neighbor, I've got to talk to them about some buffer rules. They did some filling in. They didn't fill any wetland in from the findings, but they've got to make sure they're obeying the buffer rules. So I got to talk to them about that. Arbor Glen has some progress there. Boulevards have sawed. They did hydro seed on the areas that needed to be addressed, but they were supposed to use blanket on the slopes of the infiltration basin, which they didn't do. I met today, I happened to come across Mr. Jack Larson, who's the maintenance manager for the site, and it just happens that our punch lists kind of overlap, and he's talking to the contractor, so we walked through the site together. He talked about his issues, I talked about what I had, we had a lot of overlapping stuff, so.
You guys lose 5 or 10 pounds walking through the site today?
It wasn't that very good.
Oh my God.
It's a small but no, just, oh, just being from sweating.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it was really hot. That was about 11 this morning. But I'm confident that he's on their case because they're pushing to wrap up the project, and Lake Elmo won't let them push anything up, and you know the owner of the Harbor Glen. So I think we're gonna get that. And then I was out at the Manning and 14 realignment today for a construction meeting, just to follow up on where they're at with the infiltration basins. They're going to get those all shaped and in place. They're not going to finalize those till the end of the project. I know they're going to have issues. The one infiltration basin they had today had water sitting in it. It's been dry. I know they're going to have issues. They know that they're going to go back and do test pits and have run Intertech go ahead and do borings and tests to understand what's there. I know from down the street at Northport, had a lot of issues with the soils, with clay and silt. So they may be coming back to us, but I think they're probably going to have to replace some material in there to make it work. But we'll find out. They've got to dig it up and do all the proper tests. And then Garrett Bangma, who is the construction engineer for Washington County, asked me to, he wants to set up an appointment for me to walk the SWIP inspection with him in the next 2 weeks. The county's going to start cracking down on their contractors because they feel they're not performing the SWIPs on a timely basis, that they're not providing the documentation where they should be. And so he asked me if I would walk through with him, and so we're kind of on the same page. I said, of course, because they want to use it to enforce but also educate the contractors about the importance of this.
Who are you working with in the county? Who's walking through with you?
Garrett Bangma, who is the project, he heads up these projects. So
he's a county engineer.
A county engineer. He told me that all their new contracts have a stipulation that a non-compliance fine of $1,000 a day.
That's
really
good.
And he said they're going to start enforcing it, and he's been giving everyone fair warning. So he has several sites he wants to start on, and he said, well, will you walk through this with me? We're not going to do it on a regular basis, but I want them to do it.
What do you think is prompting the sudden enforcement? What is the change of paying attention to these construction projects?
Because if the PCA comes through.
Well, I get the PCA, I mean, this has been there for forever.
Yeah.
So why is the county all of a sudden now deciding to pay more attention is my question.
I think there's just a lot of pressure to make sure that they're following the rules and that they're responsible. They own this project. Even though the contractors are doing the work, they own the overall responsibility. And if they come in, if they don't see the SWIP filed somewhere for everyone to look at, that's their biggest red flag, and then they start digging. And so now
get their hand slapped somewhere before?
Maybe, possibly. He didn't say that, but he did say that they're really going to start enforcing this, and they want to start seeing these contractors follow through with their SWIP inspections on a timely basis, which is great. That's what we need. That's what they're supposed to be doing.
That's what they're supposed to be doing.
They're supposed to be catching stuff, some of the, you know, these sites. They should be catching some of the stuff that I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't catch everything, but they should be catching that stuff. The stuff that's been sitting there during the week, they should be catching that stuff. The same at Royal Oak and that sediment I was talking about, they should be catching that. It's a glaring red flag when you walk in the place, so. I'm, just a couple of quick notes. I am volunteering at the Washington County Fair. I did take a slot with Tara Klein, so I'm gonna do my part in the evening, so it won't be quite so hot. I attended the workshop on the water the other day, yesterday, out of Hudson. It was well attended. You know, the information for me probably wasn't as educational. As, you know, we've gone through a lot of that about the St. Croix River, the one watershed, one plan. But it was a lot of people from city staff or council people, so it's good education for them. And it's good networking. And I am going to miss the July 26th meeting because I'll be out on vacation.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank
okay.
you, sir.
Susanna, attorney
sorry.
Items, anything?
There's a, do you want to do Kessel
Elementary? Oh, sorry. Kessel Elementary.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, Lucas, manager, is closing your packets. Permit review memo for this project. The project's in Oakdale on the north side of Acorn Lake or Mud Lake. They're planning to basically replace the existing parking lot with a new parking lot, do some other grading. They're proposing two filtration systems to manage the stormwater runoff, one on the north side of the site at 50th Street and one on the south side of the site that's actually on the city of Oakdale property. They are not
yep.
conforming to the watershed district's water control, water quality rule. The watershed district requires that they do volume control, and if they can't do volume control, that they remove at least 75% of the total phosphorus load. They claim that the soils are clay on the site, and based on the
right.
soil survey, they are, but and some of the soil borings, they are clay. But they're only achieving about 42% of the phosphorus removal rather than the 75% is required. Or if they can't even do the 75%, the Valley Branch rules would require them to do 60%. But they're only doing 42-43%. They did submit a variance application that's included in the memo to cover that issue. Otherwise, the suggested site-specific conditions, they have updated the model to use the correct stormwater. They have corrected the filtration system so that they're going to be for the 1.5 plants. They're still, like I said, only removing about 42-43% of the total phosphorus.
All right. Anybody have any comments on that?
Yeah, what do they do to fix it?
As a Lucas manager, if they were to do a wet pond, they would be able to get closer to the 60%. If they were to do stormwater reuse, irrigation, collect the runoff and then use it for irrigation, they would be able to achieve that. I discussed that option, both of those options with the engineer for the project, and they don't want a wet pond. She didn't really explain why. I think it might be for a safety reason, being at an elementary school.
Okay.
And the irrigation, they currently do not irrigate their ball fields, as I understand it. And so they're not, it would be a big expense for them to put.
That's what I was going to ask you next, if any of these are an expense.
However,
on the safety thing, of course.
A variance, I don't believe you could use expense as a hardship with a variance.
Okay.
Well, I personally would send these guys back to the drawing board and make them work a little bit harder on this, to work with John a little bit. Maybe then they'll reconsider some expenses and maybe being a little bit more creative. They might just be tossing this out there, hoping that a variance is going to be easy to achieve from us, but that's my two cents.
So do you want to approve it as written where it requires them to get to 60% or do you want to try to get to 75?
Okay. Go ahead, Ed.
I was going to make a motion to table it so they can take care of it first.
Right, but Dave's comment is a good one, that they got a, they have a, an option or a choice here. I would say, personally, I would say they have to get to at least 60, but they gotta get, they have to get there somehow. John, you work with, who's the engineering staff that's working?
LHB.
So, these guys have been around the block, they should be able to figure this out, in my opinion. So, we can say here that we're gonna maybe accept 60, we can have a conversation, or you can have a conversation, but right now, I'm just gonna say that personally, the table, the permit would be denied and keep working on it. Anybody else have any comments?
I concur, I'd like to make a motion.
Okay, Ed?
I'd like to make a motion to table permit 2018-24.
Are we tabling it, or are we denying it right now, Ed? I think we're denying it.
Oh, we are gonna deny it? Okay.
Yeah.
Then I make a motion to deny it, second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Alright, back to the room.
I think you should also have a motion probably on the variance application, whether to table that or deny it. It's two separate.
I make a motion to deny the various, variance application.
I will second that.
Been moved and seconded, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Alright, there we go.
Aye, that.
Thank you. Alright.
Suzanne, so I do have one thing.
Oh.
So I did a memo just to help, so I think visuals
Thank you.
Are helpful. Cedar Bluff that, Jeff was saying he did an inspection of, they requested a reduction in the surety. They, tend
Andrews.
To request a reduction annually, so I just gave you, the history. You've seen this memo before, I just updated it. So last year it was reduced to 18,000 based on the number of homes built. Currently with 23 homes, it would be reduced to 12,000, so I would recommend, and as would, Jeff and John, that it be reduced to 12,000, or that, that's the amount of requests for the extension.
That's your recommendation, Counselor?
That's my recommendation based on, Jeff and John.
Okay.
So, yes.
Alright.
Make a motion.
Anybody have any questions about that at all?
No.
No? Okay, Ed, you wanna?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the, what is it, the reduction in the surety to $12,000 for, to authorize, Attorney Torseth to request an extension of the Cedar Bluff Development Project Letter of Credit in the amount of $12,000.
I'll second it. Alright, it's been moved and seconded, all those in favor say aye.
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 Alright, that's all for me, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we are at, John, anything else? Under attorney, there's another F, administrative engineer item. That's surprising, he who created the agenda.
Oh, there, no, I have no additional.
Alright.
F is done.
Wow.
On to 50th anniversary, then G and their managers.
Tony, anything, sir?
Yes, I, have, reached out and, you've probably all seen, I'm not jumping ahead, but in our packet we have this thing from Lauren. Hayden, which is, you know, a postcard
oh, yeah,
version,
yeah.
And there's mention of the Valley Branch. I've reached out to her to see if we could, you know, maybe change this or do something else. I don't know if this is in print already, in regard to, you know, where it's our 50th anniversary. I'm still working on that project.
Okay.
At least we get our logo on here at the very end.
Right. So anyway, I mean, I think this is a real nice, useful tool, and it looks kind of, you know, it's neat if we could use it. And so we're still working with Lake Elmo, trying to figure out if we can use them as a site
to do something.
Come celebrate.
Good.
Maybe attach it to a city council meeting. I don't know, that's a bad idea. No, to just do it ourselves.
No, okay.
I don't have anything new. I haven't been handing out any water bottles.
Okay, on the back of the current top destinations to visit, I'd like the St. Croix River.
We should have.
I don't want to rewrite this for him, but it's kind of a big.
I don't.
Deal, since it's a city river.
I would concur with Lake Demontreville Boat Launch Rain Garden. I mean, that's kind of, yeah. Should we? We can work on that.
You know, somebody should then give Jay Riggs some feedback. And sit, make an appointment, sit down with Jay, give him your comments. I would recommend, Tony, that you do that. You redline this.
I can do that.
Do a bulleted list of everything that could be really improved on in our request and reach out to him and ask him for it.
I'll do that.
Pardon me?
I mean,
that's my recommendation. All right.
I accepted. Thank you.
Okay.
Awesome.
Are we recording now?
We are.
Yeah.
All right. Next, reports, managers. Ed, you're up with a PO box comment.
Yeah, just John clued me in on the history. So I received when I grabbed the mail and our first half check from the county, the P.O. Box invoice, which is $246. And so I just thought off the top of my head to throw out the idea of possibly picking up our mail elsewhere. You know, I don't know how the managers feel. Dale brought that up. What's this one? Oh, we're okay now. I got a letter of cancellation and a bunch of Western National. That's a $10,000 check for insurance. Okay, so it's $246.
Every 6 months or annually?
No, annually. Oh. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. I don't have any frame of reference to be honest.
Yeah, neither do I. But John pointed out in the past that Dale Borash, one of our past managers, had said that he doesn't like the idea of mail like that going to managers' houses. Because of a possible
well, that's true.
Chaos, that sort of thing.
Yeah, someone's dog could get it.
Yeah.
And that manager could be on vacation. Something could happen to that.
Right.
Stolen out of the
mailbox,
right.
Which happens in Afton. Yes. People do vandalism in mailboxes and baseball bat action.
I thought Randy Shaver lived there and everybody ate cookies and all that. No, okay. No. All right.
So unless there's another idea of a public place to dump the mail.
So I'm suggesting if anybody has any idea or wants to throw something out, that's fine. Otherwise, I sent it to Miss Nancy already to pay it. So
anybody?
Do at the end of the month.
Melissa or John, you guys have any other, what do other watershed districts do? Well, they have people, pardon me?
They have offices.
They have offices, and so it all goes directly to their brick and mortar building.
This might be cheaper.
No, this is cheaper by far.
As a Lucas manager, the only other thing that I could think of is if we use a UPS store PO box, and I'm not sure how much they cost.
UPS is outlandishly expensive.
Yeah.
Could we use, I hate to have the City of Lake Elmo address and have a mailbox set up if we decide to move back?
It's not a bad thought.
John?
President Lucas managers, I would discourage that because. In the past, some mail has gone to the City of Lake Elmo and sat there for several.
Didn't end up with Valley Way.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that.
It's $20.50 a month if they did the math properly, which is about what you would get at a UPS store, at least the one in Woodbury.
Is it?
So.
Somebody's got to drive out.
I don't know if you can. Get it any less expensively, considering you probably want to, you have to talk to the attorney, I assume, but probably don't want to go into someone's house.
No.
Okay.
So I don't know how you could do it any
cheaper.
Less expensive.
Then just forget I brought it up.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. John, you're up again.
I have nothing to add.
All right, and then, you know, everybody else is up again. Anything for the website, Melissa? No. Jeff, you spoke plenty, so we're going to bypass you.
I did mine and John's.
All right, well, let's hop then to future business and meetings. The next meeting is July 26th.
There.
I am not here.
I am not here.
Uh-oh.
We have a quorum? Thank you, sir.
So right now we have Jill and Dave that aren't here. Guess we're going to have to pay attention, John, and see if there's any reason it's going to be out.
Okay.
Because then we're not going to have a quorum.
Okay, if we don't have a quorum, we don't have a quorum. Mm-hmm. But nobody gets paid.
All right.
We don't. Just a quick question, if I may.
Yeah.
If we don't have a quorum, does everybody want me, because Nancy sends the checks, does everybody want me to mail their checks to them?
Sure.
Or you guys want to wait?
You can mail.
I can mail
them.
That's fine. Okay, we're on.
Yeah, that's fine.
To Tracy.
As long as it gets to the office.
That.
Here's something that we forgot to insert into the managers. So, John and I are working our way through all the Sunnybrook Lake residences, and this is a quick little diagram of leaving out the people's names because some people have disclosed some confidential information on what they were interested in doing. So without even bothering to look at this, it's easier for me just to talk about it with you guys. We were there visiting some folks. Let's see, God dang it, it's so often. Last Friday and the day before, the 4th of July on the 3rd, Monday again, Wednesday again. So we have three left. And so we're making good progress. Of the three that we have left, there's one homeowner who may not want to visit with us. They've put us off now for more than 2 months. They've said again, we're too busy in the month of July. Maybe reach out to us in August. My thoughts are if they really are putting us off that much, they must not be that concerned about it. So I'm sort of leaning towards, all right, we got two solid folks that we have to get back to now.
A big pot.
I will say that all of the meetings have gone very, very well, in my opinion. John can weigh in on his personal opinion. Everybody's been really receptive. They've all been very kind, cordial. They've all shared what they want to do, some frustrations, certainly, over the years on some of the individuals. You know, some difficult family issues when other family has been there and some family making decisions. That's challenging for them, not necessarily for us. And let's see, what else can I tell you? It's been a positive experience. For sure, and I'm glad that we're going about it with this approach, taking them just one at a time. And other the residents have expressed similar feelings on that they didn't want to go to another workshop meeting at Valley Branch or to a grant meeting and have this be a great big public brouhaha where things get hijacked and sidetracked and stuff like that. So I'd like to, I'm hoping that at least two of the remaining folks that are going to participate, that we can get those in before our August 5th budget workshop meeting. John and I talked about that again today, and we're going to work really hard to get that done. I've got, you know, a week and a half after I get back from vacation to get those two meetings in. My schedule's really open right now, and John and I can communicate between now and then. And then we'll really be able to sit down at that point and share with you sort of the outcome of where we could land. We'll just chat about it, talk about what we can do, what we can't do. Now, I will say, in fact, why don't I let you take it from here as to what you learned about FEMA floodproofing and how that is not really particularly good news. And that's going to weigh in on how we all decide what to do going forward.
There's a Lucas Managers. There's a lot of details regarding what FEMA allows as far as floodproofing, and I guess I disagree with a lot of their requirements, but the bottom line seems to be that in order to get out of the requirement of flood insurance, the house would need to be raised. You cannot just build a flood wall in front of the house and even connect it to the house and do that kind of flood proofing to get out of the flood insurance requirement. That would obviously would reduce the risk of flooding to properties, but they would still be required to have flood insurance if their title company discovers that they're in a flood zone and they have a mortgage or some sort of loan. So that would affect a lot of the property owners that we've talked to, because most of them have wanted basically a flood wall or some landscaping feature. Some of them have talked about raising their house, and that could be done. It's just a much more expensive way to provide.
Or they could much more expensive. Jill, you might know something about it. What do you think the cost would be of? I know they're nice homes.
I don't know it. Really, I honestly don't know.
I was just curious.
Just raising the home, I mean, is that like, that's different than filling in like a basement or lower level, right?
Right.
President Lucas, managers, you could do that. I think to fill in the basement of all of the homes that we've met with so far are walkouts except for two. And so if you were to fill in the walkout, it pretty much reduces the square footage of the homes significantly.
Yeah, I wasn't suggesting it. I was just wondering if that counts as raising the home.
Yes, it would. I just didn't mention it because I don't think it's really feasible with these houses. And we can provide more details on what the floodproofing options are.
Okay, yeah.
Raising a house, I would guess it would be at least $100,000.
Oh, I'm going to be ill. What? Are you kidding? $100,000.
Tremendous amount of disruption and work.
For what?
To raise the house,
2,500 or 3,000 square foot. Most of those houses are 2,500, 3,000.
Actually, no.
No?
Actually, no.
Okay.
And the difference between raising it a foot and raising it 3 feet probably isn't that significant. It's
right.
Just going above.
Just raising it. Labor and all that.
I would, so for me, this information that John just passed on today helps as far as our conversations, I think, because there's a number of folks that come really repeatedly that are most concerned with reducing their flood insurance. They might not have been affected, but they're most concerned about that. Now, we can say that no matter how we help them, it's not going to reduce that flood insurance. Well, not no matter, but in the ways that they want to.
President Lucas, managers, it could reduce the rate.
Yeah.
They would still be required to pay for flood insurance. It just might be, it'd be less expensive.
Okay. And I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that I think, in my opinion, few of the homeowners that we've met with are going to want to lift and fill in their basement. I can say that with 95% accuracy, that very few, because they are all really utilizing that space in a huge way. So there you have it. Any questions about that?
Oh, man.
I have none.
Okay. All right. So what I would like to suggest is that, John, if you are able to move along in my absence and get those last two done in the interest of pushing forward and having a good conversation on August 5th, I'm asking you to do that. And if John has a meeting and anybody else wants to join him on that meeting, please do so. If you can't get this...
President Lucas, you wanted to meet with...
I do want to meet with one individual because it's been particularly troublesome, and so I want to meet with one of the homeowners. But anybody else, if you guys feel like it, and if John's able to get it scheduled.
If you do, I will certainly go, and I will keep my mouth shut. Okay?
All right, any other questions about that? Nope.
No.
Washington County Fair, August 1st through the 5th. Jeff and Ed, so far, are volunteering.
With a stipulation. No foot-long hot dogs, I'm not going. I'm kidding.
You want a foot-long hot dog?
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'm a maybe yet, I don't know.
I will be out of town, otherwise I'd be there.
Great, all right.
In the beer garden, right?
Budget workshop, I think we have a typo. We have a typo? Is that August 7th or August 5th?
Seven.
It's the 7th, okay.
In the library?
Lake Elmo Library. Still doesn't want us to yell. And I will add that 5 to 7, depending on how it goes, I'm guessing that we're gonna spend the entire time.
Yeah, I don't know if we can have a booth at National Night Out, because it's the same day.
Yep.
It's only a block away, but.
We could try, depends how things go.
Need to have an empty booth.
Well, we'll look at a budget meeting of roughly 2 hours, shooting for 5 to 7.
Yes, ma'am.
Something like that. So if anybody wants to go to the National Night Out after that, cool.
Well, we, you know, if you recall, we were talking about having a booth.
Yeah.
I don't think that's.
That's tough.
Probably not in the cards.
That's a tough deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn?
Okay.
I'll second that.
It's been, there's motion on the floor, it's been approved and seconded, and all those in favor say aye.
All right.
Boom.
Yeah.
Look what time it is already.
She did pretty good though.
She did pretty darn good.
I was trying to drag it out.
Boy, I don't see no horns on you.
I can't believe you.
Susanna said
that. Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's really Jeff's fault.